Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Aleph Tammuz, Sunday the 25th of June, Rabbi Doniel Rowe on a Parsha theme. It's Chodesh. So what I wanted to do is try to take a look at the Sidra as a whole. I think it's an important episode. I think we discussed it once or twice before, that when Anshe Knesset Gedolah, when the two divisions of Torah took place, one the way that we have it now and the other into smaller fragments, obviously they based it around the sense that within Torah are conceptual themes. Each Sidra has within it a unified concept being developed through the Sidra. And looking for that is sometimes easy and sometimes needs more work. And Parshas Chukas, the most obvious question really is why we're dealing with this particular point in Torah with the concept of chok in general, the concept of statute in general, mitzvah without an obvious reason, or without revealed reason, or without access within the world of chokhmah, of wisdom, and specifically the laws of impurity, the laws of tumas meis, the laws of impurity in the case of somebody who dies, the laws of tumas oihel, of the contamination of the whole room or building. So that is the question: is why is it here? We have other parts of Torah speak about tumah, and in fact, here when it introduces this chok, as the Rishonim point out, when it introduces it, says zois chokas of Torah. It's a very strong phrase. This is the chok of Torah. This is it. This is the statute of Torah. Whereas other chokim, we have more specific chokas of Pesach, chokas of this. Usually, it's just introducing a very local issue. In terms of the rest of the sedra, also once we move on from there. Obviously, the next intriguing phrase that appears that's, again, incredibly famous is that when it comes to the halachas, to the laws of tumas meis, of the person who dies in an oihel, in a tent or building, it says, Zois haTorah Adam ki yomos ba'oihel. A similar phrase to the opening. This is Torah, which you could read. It's the whole of Torah, Adam ki yomos ba'oihel, a person who dies in the tent. And it continues, not the simple meaning, the pshat is, this is the law of one who dies in the tent, but the phrase leaves itself wide open for Chazal to point out here, this is how we access Torah, Adam ki yomos ba'oihel, by the mesiras nefesh, the willingness to die, so to speak, for Torah in the tents of Torah. And that again raises the question, why, as Rav Tzadok always alerts us, when a drasha appears, why is it there in Torah? There's a reason why the Torah Shavuot is connecting to that particular part of Torah Shavuot. Why is this the place where we have to learn the mesiras nefesh of fighting for learning Torah? Why is this the place where all the chukim, this is called the chukas of Torah? Why, what's happening here that seems to be generalizing from this into much, much broader themes and issues in an episode that appears to be an insertion of a set of halachos that don't obviously belong in this part of Torah and break up the narrative, if you like, the flow of the stories that are taking place? Then what we have is, we then go on to the stories of what's happening, and we have Miriam first, the Misas Miriam. Miriam dies, the lack of water, and then we have, again, the next parasha where we speak about Moshe Rabbeinu being told to take the mat. Again, these are amongst the most famous stories in Torah, and he's supposed to speak to the rock and hits the rock. And of course, we have the famous problem of what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong. We're used to following Rashi that there was meant to be a speaking, not a car. But in fact, if we look in the Rishonim, it is so difficult. The Ramban says, "How can that be? He was told to take the stick. Of course, he was meant to hit it." And it turns out there's at least eight, maybe more, that I'm aware of, different shittas of trying to explain exactly what it was that's wrong. It's never made explicit in Torah what he does wrong. It's parallel, by the way, to the mice of Nodav and Avihu. It's not clear. There's twice in Torah where something clearly goes terribly wrong, and it's very difficult to pinpoint because it's never made explicit exactly what the problem was. What we definitely do have is the Yan Lo Yamanta Bilakisheni. The Rabban Shalom saying, you failed to be Makadish me, you failed to sanctify me, therefore you can't bring these people into Eretz Yisrael. Then the next episode, everything seems to be going downhill. We have the from Misas Miriam to the fact that Moshe and Aaron won't be able to take them in. Then the fact that they come to Eretz Edom and now we hit this stumbling block. The Edomim will not let them through the land, come what may. And they seem blocked from entering Eretz Yisrael. Then they arrive at Har HaHar and Aaron now dies. So we're losing everything, it feels like, at this stage in the Sedra. And then the Canaanim here, the Yisraels here, and also the Remez, that they hear that Yisrael is now weak and vulnerable. So they start attacking Yisrael and capturing members of Yisrael. It's very brief, but then comes this incredible neder Yisrael makes, and that if Hashem gives back the people, so then we will make sure that it's Hecharamti Yisrael, and indeed that happens, and the place gets called Chorma. Then they go again, and this time again, just when it looked like things about to go up, boom, we go down again. And this time there's this refrain that we've heard many times before, Lomahel Yisunim Mitzrayim Lomus Bamidbar, Geilechem, Ein Mayim, we're finished here, what are we doing, why did you bring us here? And this time we have the Nechoshim HaSerafim, these fiery snakes that are attacking the people, many, many people, Yomos Amrov Mi'Yisrael, and the people say to him, this time they turn to Moshe and say, Chotonu. This time they're Moedas. It's a rare instance where they turn around with some kind of tshuva. The tefillah comes, and then Hashem says, rather than accept the tshuva, rather than accept the tefillah, now you've got to place this saraf, this snake on a copper thing, and anyone who's bitten and looks up will live, which is interesting. We would have expected that would happen first and stimulate the tshuva somehow, but instead this is after the tshuva, and after the tefillah now comes this new eitzah. And we need to understand exactly what this new thing is doing. We haven't done this before in Torah. To the point where, as a prime of Elosh, I mean, if you think about it, it seems on a very superficial level, Korov to some very strange Avodah. Then they travel, reach over. So somehow from here onwards, everything now seems to go very, very easily. There's a whole bunch of camps, a whole bunch of milchamas, difficult ones. And we have a Shira of Yisrael. Suddenly there's a big song about the Yisrael singing. And again, this time, interestingly enough, as an echo of the opening of the Sadra, we refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as the Mechoykek. The Mechoykek, literally the engraver, presumably referring back to Har Sinai, but the Loshon Choyk is built into that, which goes back to the Chukah Satorah at the beginning. And then we have this song of the journeys. Then we send Malachim to Sichon, and instead he comes to try and fight Yisrael, and he gets destroyed, and Oig the same thing. And by the end of the parasha, where everything was going so disastrously, we've now arrived at the Gvul of Eretz Yisrael, essentially ready to enter. Halfway through the Sedra, it felt like we're never going to make it in. Moshe and Aaron aren't here, he's not going to take us in. And if you just read the Chumash Kipshuti, you would think that means perhaps they'll never make it in. By the end of the Sedra, there's been this remarkable turnaround, and we're now basically poised to enter Eretz Yisrael. So we need to understand what is happening in all these waves of ups and downs and forwards and backwards and strange things that seem to be taking place. So if we take just a very simple look and just begin to think about the various themes, one obvious theme that is moving all the way through is things to do with death, with Misa. From the fact that Zoyz HaTorah Adam Kiyomus Boyal, the halachos of Tumas Meis Boyal, of somebody who dies, to the loss of Miriam, the loss of Moshe and Aaron, the loss of Aaron and the fact that we're going to lose Moshe Rabbeinu, to the various wars that are taking place. But it doesn't really help us fully to understand why we begin the Sedra with Pora Aduma. Okay, that's part, I guess, that's also linked to the idea of mace, but the halachos of severity. It gives us a sense there's something going on that's to do with Misa, with death and life, is somewhere moving in the Sedra. But if we want to go a little bit stronger, a little bit deeper, it's crucial to turn to the key turning point. The thing that seems to turn around Yisrael is this episode with the Nechash and Nechoshes, with the copper serpent. Before we go deeper, a second theme that also emerges, apart from just the Misa that's going through, is the Melchames HaYetzer. If you take a look particularly at the Shira that Yisrael does, and really the double Shira, if you take a look at Chazal HaDoresh, let's start with, first of all, the little song, Oz Yoshe Yisrael as a Shira Zois, Ali Be'er En Ula. So we say, Be'er Chafur HaSorim, there's wells that were originally dug. And then we say, Karua Nidir Amim, Mchoykek, Mashanoisa Midba Metabatono. The Gemara and the Mishnah in Avos, both are Dorish, this little set of phrases, Mimidba Matana, from the desert to literally Matana. I mean, these are names of places, but Matana could be in a gift. Mimatana Nachliel. And so the Gemara in Adorim says, Rava says, that Mimidba Matana, Matana Nachliel, Minachliel Bomois, when a person is, Adam is, makes himself into a midbar, Hefgala Koil, he makes himself as if he's an ownerless entity, or I guess it's a Vanova, he opens himself up. like a midbar, which doesn't belong to anybody, it's not a place of gaiva. Torah not loy batana, then he receives the Torah. So, midbar matana, when a person's willing to become like a midbar, then comes matana. A matana, when a person gets the matana of Torah and they makabel it correctly, when they receive the gift of Torah, then we go nochalukel. Then he gets the inheritance of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shenema matana nachliel. And once you have that, then you oile le gedula minachliel bomas. Later on, after the Mechama of Sichon, then we have another interesting set. Al kein yonu ha-moishlim, boyu cheshboin. Therefore, having defeated Sichon, the Moishlim, the parable tellers say this phrase, boyu cheshboin, you should come to a place called Cheshboin, Tibona should be built with Tikoina near Sichon, prepare the city of Sichon, the Kieshot to Mecheshboin, because the fire went out from Cheshboin, the Hobbit Mekir Sichon, and the Ochla Armoyev, 8 Moyev, Bali, Bombas, Arnon. And you think, what is this doing in Torah exactly? So the Gemara in Baba Basra brings as follows. The Gemara in Baba Basra is Doirashit. Al Kein Yom Moshe, the Moshlim should say, this is what they're saying is like this. Moshlim is can also be read not just as people who say Mesholim, as parable tellers, but Moshlim, those who rule, Beitzom, who defeat their Yetzahara. Boyu Cheshbon, you should come and make a Cheshbon. Hefzad mitzvah keneged schara, right? Like the mission of Israel, Rebbe's Mishnah, right? What do you lose by doing a mitzvah versus what do you win by doing a mitzvah? What do you gain by doing an aveira versus how much do you lose by doing an aveira? When you do that, then tibona v'tikoinen means you build and you prepare. You build your olam hazeh and you prepare your olam haba. Ir sichon, if a person makes himself like an ear, like this type of donkey, goes after sichon noah, after nice sort of music or speech, then Eishiyot Zemecheshbein. Then, in other words, if a person follows the Yetzahara instead of calculating correctly, then those who are Mecheshbein, those who do get things right, who produce the light of great things in the world, that great light will actually destroy those who follow the Yetzahara. Toichal Hashem Mecheshbein. And Lahava Mekirah Sichon as well, from the Tzadikim, who are called Sichon, who talk in beautiful ways, then they will defeat the people who follow Moav and so forth. So, again, we have two little poems, each of which seem to be hinting at various Mahalchim and Avodas Hashem. But they require, they both have a theme as follows. They require, in the second case, a Milchemes HaYetzer, and in the first case, making a person like a Midbar, which once again is a place where you would not expect there to be much. It's Pas B'melech Toichel, Mayim B'Amshur Tishta. This is the place of living with little. But let's understand why we're learning all these lessons here. What is happening that here in Torah is the right place? And let's go back to the pivotal moment of the Sedra, where things turn around, where we have this Nachash and Achoshes, this copper serpent, and we have the very famous Mishnah at the end of Rosh Hashanah, which says, Chinochash Memis, Nachash Machaya, snakes can't give life, they can't produce death. When you saw, look upwards, and commit their heart to Avim Shavash, to their Father in heaven, they get cured in Him love. If not, then they're lost. So, obvious question on this mission is, that's very nice, so make a pole. What do you need a snake to be on the top of this pole for? Look up, or you want someone to look upwards, make a pole, stand on top of a mountain like with Milchemes Amalek. Do something. There's a lot of ways to look up. You don't need a Nachash and a Choshes to be on. You don't need to have this Sarov to be this thing on top of the pole. Reb Chaim of Elojin, Nefesh Chaim, says as follows. He's obviously, he says, whenever you hear the word Nachash in Torah, obviously we hear, our sensitive ear goes all the way back to the Nachash HaKadmoni. We realize that we're dealing with Gan Eden, we're dealing with the issues of the Yetzara at its fundamental root. So why do they put a Nachash above? Says Uchaim of Elojim, because a person has to understand that the Nachash, the Yetzara, is far more powerful than they are. You don't begin to have a chance of fighting against what's happening, the Nisa that's flowing through your soul, the death that is coming into the world, until you realize the source of that death is the Itchishal Nachash, is the actual snake from Gan Eden itself, and that it is Koyach is far greater than we are. There's no power within the human being, no human power capable of defeating the Nachash. And when a person realizes that actually there's no power capable of defeating the Nachash, and that we will therefore, left to our own devices and our own efforts, be wiped out of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. When a person finally understands that, then they realize that if there's no human power capable of defeating the Nachash, then they have to be mistaklin klape malach further above, and then meshabdim eslibam. When a person realizes their only hope is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then they have a complete shiva d'lev. Otherwise, a person lives in a world of compromise. It's like this. You know, okay, I'll do my bit of life, and now when I need Hashem, I'll do that, score my own and my bar point. Once a person realizes that such a mahalach is hopeless, the Nachash will defeat them. Then they have to realize there is no hope other than one thing that's greater. Einoid Movado, there's nothing but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. When they have that understanding, at that moment the person does, then there's a proper shivud halev. But what it means is that a person has to understand that within the natural structure of the world as it is now, there is no power within the person to defeat the Yetzer at all, and to defeat the Satan, and to defeat the ability to completely be smashed and destroyed. The only possibility comes from the completest ispatlus to the Rashah. But why is that Mahalach only introduced now? We've had Mechamas HaYetzer throughout the Torah, we've had problems all the way through. What has happened now? And now, Dafka, after they did Tshuva, that we suddenly learn this lesson. You think this is the lesson to teach you to do Tshuva? And I think the Teretz is that it all happens with a sana, with a rock. Because although we have very different mahalchim in how to understand this issue with the Selah, there's a beautiful, in the same base of Medrash, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chover, in the brother of the Gorah to Sefer called Malas HaTorah, Likut HaMidrashim about the Chashivas of Talmud Torah, and Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chover wrote a Pirush called the Or Torah, and in there he speaks about on this issue of what exactly takes place at the Selah. And it's really an interesting thing. If you look through the Torah and try to understand why was Moshe Rabbeinu not Zoicha to bring Klal Yisrael in, what happened? You can give at least three reasons. In Devarim it seems very clear it's about the Meraglim. This week it looks like it's about hitting the Selah or whatever exactly, the not being Makdash Hashem at the Meimariva. Baal Oisachot, it sounds like it's about Eldad and Medad already, or maybe it's already the Slav and the Moshe Rabbeinu at that point say, I can't be nice to the people anymore. And if we put it together, what we actually realize is happening is as follows, is that Moshe Rabbeinu never really came down from the Madrega of Har Sinai. His face was still illuminated, he was always on the Madrega of Har Sinai. But Yisrael were Yoyred, first in the Egel, and then after we'd done the whole Tikkun HaEgel, the whole building of the Mishkan, and we were ready finally to enter Eretz Yisrael, they turn around and miss the whole point of that was to bring us back to that Madrega of the Shachanti Mon B'toich Tumosam, the Shekhinah can stay with us on the Madregas of our Sinai. And instead, they've Mevakesh, that Bakosha of we want meat, as that fissure opens, a crack opens, that Eldad and Medad can already say, Moshe Rabbeinu can already say, I don't know if I can carry the people. Eldad and Medad can already say, we can see as a result of this, the people in Yisrael and Moshe are so far away from each other that it can't be Moshe who can bring. You need somebody who can reach down to their level, Yeshua, and bring them in. But at that moment, it's not the crack is not deep enough that it's actually snapped. Comes the Meraglim and the crack is so deep now that you could point and say, that's it. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, there's one more chance. See if you can somehow lift them up. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chover, do you know what the difference between being medaber el asela and being maka the sela is? What is the difference between speaking and hitting? They're both incredible nisim, as the Ramban says. They're both megal Hashem in the world. They both show that impossible is possible. But if you're medaber, if you speak and it responds, what you're revealing is that the whole world is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's speech. When you speak and someone obeys, it's because they resonate with what you're saying. Their will turns around and says, yes, I'm a part, I align myself with that speech. If they respond to the Devar Hashem, what they're really saying is, we are aligned with the word of Hashem. What they're really, really, really saying is, we are the Devar Hashem. Hu Oma Vayei, Vayoy Melekim, everything is the speech of Hashem. And everything in this world, even a Selah, is nothing other than a kli to reveal Hashem in the world. And then there will be noise of Kalvachim Batsimon, then Kol Shekein Asu, it's Selem Elakim. Of course, we're for no other purpose than to reveal the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the world. The rock always symbolizes in the physical world that which blocks the Torah from entering the world. So Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, they see rocks, they move them. Later in history, Rabbi Akiva, who brings a whole other mahalach of the Pilpul HaShatoh, he sees how water can drip by drip by drip get through the rock. But that's a different mahalach. Moshe Rabbeinu, had he spoken and the rock would have yielded water, would have shown the most seemingly not, water is always Torah, ein mayim ela Torah. The most seemingly non-Torah thing in the world is really Torah. The most seemingly non-revelation of Hashem thing in the world is actually revelation of Hashem. That's what would have been revealed. When he hits, hakar is what, hitting is what you do when something resists. It's how you overpower that which blocks you. So now we have a rock that doesn't want to reveal Hashem in the world, but you could still overcome it. Still a tremendous nace. The possibility of overcoming an obstacle and being a gala, Torah, that's incredible. But it's no longer the Mahalach of Har Sinai. It's no longer Aseres Hadibros. It's no longer the Devar Hashem flowing into the world. It's no longer a rock holding Torah. That's not what it is anymore. Now there's a rock which is fighting you, but if you overcome it, if you're Moser Nefesh, if you battle, you can produce Torah even there. That's a beautiful mahalach, but it's not the mahalach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so the Rosh Hashanah says, at that point, you're still so high, but you haven't, the last chance to maybe try and lift them back to your level, maybe it might have worked, it's gone. And that, now Yoshua has to bring them in. Now we need somebody who can live down on the level of Hakar, of fighting, of Milchama, of all the various things that are going to have to happen to bring ourselves back. And when we understand that, we suddenly begin to see how the themes of the Sedra are all building together. Because there is a transformation in Avodas Hashem in this Sedra. Once you've understood this, then you realize that this goes all the way back to a Mahalach of Hashem. That means that now it's all about Mesiras Nefesh. Now, of course, the diagram of the obvious is Mesiras Nefesh, because Mesiras Nefesh is the possibility of living in a world where things are so clear and so powerful that everything is just a Devar Hashem. There's an avoider to get up there, but once you're up there, that's where you are. But since we lose that Madrega, now we start in a world where the Yitzhah is much more powerful than we are, where it's not even possible. Now there's an avoider to get there. Now there's an avoider of Ispatlus. Now you've got to fight yourself. Now you've got to make some matzah. You've got to make yourself like a midbar. You've got to be like a desert. You've got to struggle. Your natural desire is not to live in a desert. Now we've got to make ourselves like a desert to be able to receive the maton of Torah, and from there to be noichal, and from there to rise to bomos. Now we've got to do the cheshbon, because the Yetzer is more powerful than us. It's constantly telling us that, so we've got to boil cheshbon, and we've got to look for the tzaddikim and not fall off the sichon noah. Now there's a whole avoidah. And by the end of the Sedra, what's happening is Yisrael start to do the things that Moshe Rabbeinu would normally do. Now it's Oz Yashir Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu has been doing shiras till now. The Shira of Moshe Rabbeinu is the Shira of Tchiyas HaMeisim. You see the Gilui Hashem, Zekei Livan Veil. The Shira of Yisrael is the Shira of Milchamas HaYetzer. We sing about the ability to rise by making yourself like a midbar and fighting through. We're now taking over the new Mahalach that Yisrael needs to do to get to Eretz Yisrael. A Mahalach of Milchama, Mahalach of all these, the battles we're going to do. These are all things that are going to have to now be part of our way into Eretz Yisrael. That all goes back to the concept of chayk. Because, as Rashi brings in the beginning of the Sedra, and the Rambam brings it very strongly, the chayk is a thing, when we live down in our realm, we live lower than Har Sinai, and our greatest attribute, our greatest thing that we have for grasping Torah is chochmah, is wisdom. And as the Shlomo HaMelech spends the first 8 prokim of Koheles, trying to understand the world using chochmah, and is it the right type of chochmah, the wrong type? He seems that there's a certain type of chochmah he's trying to use until he finally says, "Amarati achkom over here, rechoikom imeni." I said I'd try and use chochmah, but it's so far away. And then the ninth Bekel Koheles begins with defining what chochmah really should be. "Amarati achkom, I said I'd use wisdom, rechoikom imeni, it's so far from me." Says Chazal, what is that referring to? Parah Aduma. The Shlomo HaMelech can't grasp Parah Aduma. And in fact, when Chazal said it's not quite true, Shlomo HaMelech could grasp Parah Aduma. He knew why it had to be a cow. He knew why it had to be red. He knew why it had to be loyal oil. He knew everything about it. What he couldn't grasp is how simultaneous the same avodah can be Matar Tameim and Matar Matorim. How it can make those who are impure pure, but make the coin, make the pure person impure. That was Amarti Achkom of Yerachoykom Imeni. If you do the maths, he could understand 612 out of 613 mitzvahs. That's well more than 99% of the way there. And even within the one he couldn't grasp, he got 90% of that too. So you would say, he rechoika is far away, and 99.9% of the way there, that's far away. the Teretz is, when he met the Chayk, he realized that Torah's root is outside of the realm of where we can function. And if there's one bit of Torah that is unambiguously higher than our world of Chochmah, then all of Torah is really Rechayk HaMimeni. That is what he understands. And then all my Chochmah in the world doesn't get me there. Says Rashi right at the beginning, Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is why it's Chukas HaTorah. What does Rashi answer? He says, Lefisha Satan Umas Olam Moinim Zisrael. This is where the Satan fights us and says, you fools. Or where people outside in the Umas Olam can fight you and say, what are you doing? Ma Mitzvah Zos, Ma Tam, but what are you talking about? There's no taste to this Mitzvah. It doesn't make any sense. Lefisha Kosa Bachukah, Gzeir Melefonai. There are other Mitzvahs called Chukah, but nothing's called Chukas HaTorah. Chukas HaTorah means, this exactly, sorry, this is the chayk from which you grasp Torah. This is the place in which we understand that Torah is something radically different. And the Rambam goes further and talks about David HaMelech when he was being chased by his Yetzer, chased by the Umma, saying this doesn't make sense. That's when he was Dovak Bashem. Because that's when you have no choice. That's when you have the Nachash is greater than you. It's got a million svaras that meet all your svaras as to why right now a person should do an Avera. And then a person turns around and says, you know what, but my only hope is to give myself like a midbar. Let the Rebbeinu Shalom be the Baal of everything I have. Let me give everything to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Shabdim Aslibam. With Mesiras Nefesh, and that is suddenly when it's Chayk that forces you there. The parts of Torah that you don't understand. The Avodah Hashem that we don't get that forces us to do that. That becomes Chukas HaTorah. And this becomes the new Mahalach of Zois HaTorah Odom Kiyamas Ba'ayah. Till now there was a possibility of something else. But now there's no possibility of anything else. Now we learn Hilchus Tumas Meis. Now we learn from it that it needs to be a Misa to get life. To get life, you have to kill the world that the Nachash dominates. We have to turn it into a Midbar. That's our only real Mahalach to get in to the place that we need to get to. And all of a sudden, given that, we understand the connection between the Loshon Chayk and the Mechaykik. The Mechaykik is the Moshe Rabbeinu who engraves Torah into stone. And when we engrave Torah into us, and what we say, when we meet Chayk, and we meet things that my Chochmah can't grasp, that comes from, the Nachash dominates my old Chochmah, but I go for it anyway, that's when it becomes the Mechaykik. That's when it becomes so engraved within us, that we suddenly have this Mahalach. And so we see why it has to be here in Torah that we have to learn the Mahalach of Chayk, of Chukas, of understanding that we need to be, that within our little framework of concept, there's no hope. That our framework can at best show us there's something much greater that we have to be mashabed ourselves to. That we have to understand in this world that we aren't shaykh directly to the world of Moshe Rabbeinu anymore without the mysterious Nefesh battle of Zos HaTorah Odom Kiyamas Ba'ayel. And that's we have to understand the Nachash is greater than us. So even when they did Shuvah, now we have to see there's a new Mahalach here. Recognize the Nachash is greater than you. Recognize the hope comes from being completely mashabed Tzlibah. Now Yisrael takes that and turns the Shira, original Shira of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the Shira now of Techias HaMesim. It's you have to be Memis and then Machaya. Now that becomes a Shira of eventually. But the Shira of this world where we're still in the world of Misa, where we're in the world where we have to let go of what is now in order to get what's greater. Now the Shira becomes make yourself like a Midbar to get the Matana of Torah, and from there Nachliel, and from there almost. The Rebbeinu Shem should help us be Zoicha in doing this, in doing Kabbal Chukas HaTorah, and to be Mekabal Tom Nachliel and Nachliel Bomas.